Aviary.
I just don't understand, John Arnold said, speaking into the phone. I don't see the wrecks, and I don't see Grant and the kids anywhere either. He sat in front of the consoles and gulped another cup of coffee. All around him, the control room was strewn with paper plates and half-eaten sandwiches. Arnold was exhausted. It was 8 a.m. on Saturday. In the 14 hours since Nedry destroyed the computer that ran Jurassic Park, Arnold had patiently pulled systems back online, one after another. All the park systems are back and functioning correctly. The phones are working. I've called for a doctor for you. On the other end of the line, Malcolm coughed. Arnold was talking to him in his room at the lodge.
But you're having trouble with the motion sensors?
Well, I'm not finding what I'm looking for.
Like the wrecks?
He's not reading at all now. He started north about 20 minutes ago, following along the edge of the lagoon, and then I lost him. I don't know why, unless he's gone to sleep again.
And you can't find Grant and the kids?
No.
I think it's quite simple, Malcolm said. The motion sensors cover an inadequate area.
Inadequate? Arnold bristled.
They cover 92% of the land area, I remember, Malcolm said.
But if you put the remaining areas up on the board, I think you'll find that the 8% is topologically unified, meaning that those areas are contiguous. In essence, an animal can move freely anywhere in the park and escape detection by following a maintenance road or the jungle river or the beaches or whatever.
Even if that were so, Arnold said, the animals are too stupid to know that.
It's not clear how stupid the animals are, Malcolm said.
You think that's what Grant and the kids are doing?
Arnold said.
Definitely not, Malcolm said, coughing again. Grant's no fool. He clearly wants to be detected by you. He and the kids are probably waving at every motion sensor in sight. But maybe they have other problems we don't know about. Or maybe they're on the river.
I can't imagine they'd be on the river. The banks are very narrow. It's impossible to walk along there.
Would the river bring them all the way back here?
Yes, but it's not the safest way to go, because it passes through the aviary.
Why wasn't the aviary on the tour? Malcolm said.
We've had problems setting it up. Originally, the park was intended to have a treetop lodge built high above the ground where visitors could observe the pterodactyls at flight level. We've got four dactyls in the aviary now. Actually, they're ceradactyls, which are big fish-eating dactyls.
What about them?
Well, while we finished the lodge, we put the dactyls in the aviary to acclimate them. But that was a big mistake. It turns out our fish hunters are territorial.
Territorial?
Fiercely territorial, Arnold said. They fight among themselves for territory, and they'll attack any other animal that comes into the area they've marked out.
Attack?
It's impressive, Arnold said. The dactyls glide to the top of the aviary, fold up their wings, and dive. A 30-pound animal will strike a man on the ground like a ton of bricks. They were knocking the workmen unconscious, cutting them up pretty badly.
That doesn't injure the dactyls?
Not so far.
So if those kids are in the aviary...
They're not, Arnold said. At least I hope they're not.